Let's get back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the Baum Show, TalkZone.com. Toll-free number 1-888-463-6748. Fascinating conversation with a guy that says, and I believe it, that Starbucks saved his life. Come from a life of privilege. There's going to be a movie with Tom Hanks. He loves that Pacific Northwest, doesn't he? Hanks, that is. Second part of the hour on this American success story is a double tall tale of caffeine, commerce, and culture. And our guest on this portion of the show is Taylor Clark. Taylor authored this. Taylor is a former staff writer for the Portland, Oregon all-weekly Willamette Week, graduate of Dartmouth and a Pacific Northwest native. He lives in Portland. And Taylor, welcome to the Dave Baum Show. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Two specific headlines. One in December of 2007, in which the CEO, Jim McDonald, says, quote, lines mean we need more stores, close quotes. January 31, 2008, Wall Street Journal. Starbucks Corporation unveiled the first moves of chief executive, notice the difference, Howard Schultz's turnaround plan, saying it would cut by 350 the net number of locations it plans to add this year while halting sales of hot breakfast sandwiches because their smell interferes with the aroma of coffee, period, close quotes, end of first paragraph. What happened to Starbucks?
You know, it's interesting because this is something that I wrote about at the very end of my book, kind of forecasting the future a year ago. It seemed really clear to me that, and to a lot of people within the company, that Starbucks had kind of gone away from the things that made it popular in the first place. The idea of it being kind of a community haven that focused on serving good coffee. And so they got caught up instead in all this stuff about movies and serving food and selling books and kind of got a little bit too big for their britches. And, you know, it actually goes right along with a memo that was actually leaked that Howard Schultz wrote about a year ago, in which he you know, outwardly he had always said that everything was hunky-dory at Starbucks, but, you know, he was starting to notice that the stores were feeling a little plastic and, you know, the old spirit was gone. So really it was just a matter of them kind of trying to get too big and do too much.
Well, I have to tell you, Taylor, as I told our last guest, Michael Gill, who wrote that personal biography of how Starbucks saved his life, I am not a right. Starbucks drinker. I do know that when I'm having a business meeting and you know, my client wants to have a cup of coffee or whatever it's called at Starbucks and I go in there, I see a lot of other things these days besides coffee. I see music that I can buy. I see bagels and hot rolls and breakfast stuff, and it's kind of like, what are they selling anymore?
Yeah, you know, this is actually something that Starbucks has done a number of times in its existence. You know, they've tried to, basically people like them because they like to sit down in what Starbucks has made into sort of an inviting atmosphere, and they like to be able to read or talk or study or whatever with a cup of coffee, and that's really just about the appeal of the company.
Well, I gotta tell you, if I want an Alison Krauss Robert Plant CD
right.
of their newest CD, it sure ain't gonna be at Starbucks.
Yeah, well, you got to understand that this stuff is basically anything. So they've got literally tens of millions of people coming through their stores every week who are addicted to their product, right? So basically everything that they can convince these people to buy just by being, you know, next to the cash register is more or less pure profit for them. But the problem is when they go away from doing what they always did best, which is, you know, make coffee and get it to people fast, you know, they kind of lose their focus, and pretty soon they're trying to make you go to a movie and they're trying to get you to read Oprah's next book. And you know, you just get away from the old spirit.
Taylor, is Starbucks marketing better than its coffee?
I would say that at this point, that's definitely true. Yeah. I mean, that has always been something that they have really excelled at. Howard Schultz, who has just recently taken over, as CEO again, who is also the founder of the company as we currently know it, is kind of a marketing savant, and he's always had his hands in everything. He's supervised everything from, you know, the typefaces on the coffee bags to, you know, the specific wording in company literature and things like that. I mean, he's very sort of almost OCD about making sure that his company's public face is exactly perfect and that they never really depart from the message, which is that Starbucks is, you know, this luxurious romantic product that'll enrich your life just by coming into contact with it.
I think it's a fascinating play on marketing and advertising skills in America. Now, again, I'm not a coffee connoisseur, so I couldn't tell you what's really great or what isn't great. But what really intrigues me is that this was a bunch of stores which have now grown to, what, 10,000 plus?
15,000 plus.
15,000 stores,
right,
that play strictly to snob appeal, doesn't it?
Well, you know, initially they did. I think if you look at a lot of luxury brands, Starbucks considers itself a luxury brand still, even though it's kind of not. They all start with sort of the, they need the people who are snobs to buy in, to think that, you know, that it's the greatest thing.
So that came first then, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay. But then, you know, it's kind of like something like Godiva chocolate or something where, you know, maybe 10 years ago, that would carry some sort of, you know, it would seem like a really luxurious, hard-to-get thing, but then pretty soon when it's in Albertsons and Safeway and every other store on the planet, all of a sudden it doesn't seem that exclusive anymore. And
kind of like
Starbucks.
Kind of like a Krispy Kreme.
Sure. I mean, when Starbucks is even more prevalent in some places than McDonald's, it's hard for people to legitimately view their product as being, you know, high touch and hard to get. You know, if everyone's carrying around a cup, it's not really exclusive anymore.
Taylor Clark, our guest on the Dave Baum Show, the author of A Double Tall Tale of Caffeine, Commerce, and Culture, the background on Starbucks. As a matter of fact, that in itself is an interesting story. Where did it come from? Schultz got the idea to start Starbucks, but it came from somewhere else. We'll ask Taylor after this.